keep these commandments. You must add nothing to what I command you and take nothing from it. Deuteronomy and Exodus give us the Ten Commandments, the Decalogue, which Moses received from God, which is the natural moral law. There are ten commandments, three pertain to God and seven for ourselves and our neighbour. The three for God is that we worship him alone, not money, football or career. Secondly, that we respect his name, which is not the case today. And thirdly, that we worship him by coming to Mass, attending his sacrifice and not working on Sunday. And the seven commandments, our Lord gave us a list of some of them. Fornication is against the sixth commandment, theft against the seventh, murder against the fifth, adultery against the ninth, avarice, which is greed, that's against the seventh commandment, malice, you could say it's against the fourth commandment, and deceit is against the eighth commandment, indecency against the sixth commandment, envy, it's a good one, against the tenth commandment, slander, the eighth commandment, pride covers them all, and folly or foolishness against the fourth commandment. So our Lord goes through a list of basic issues in moral conduct and says, look, you Jews, you Pharisees, you've failed to understand. Today, he could say the same to us. We have failed to understand. Many people today don't regard sin as being a reality. In fact, for many, it's been eclipsed. It just does not exist. We, however, acknowledge daily in the papers crime. We acknowledge mental illnesses. But what about illnesses of the soul? Our body can get sick, so too can our soul, and we call that sin. Every saint in heaven was a sinner on earth, and every sinner on earth, including myself and the 7 billion others, can be a saint in heaven. But let's not fool ourselves and think that we never sin. We do. When people say they haven't sinned today, what they really mean is they can't acknowledge some sinful conduct in their daily practice. But don't forget the sins that we do and the sins that we fail to do. In other words, the things that we have neglected, the acts of kindness that we have omitted, that shortness of temper or that lack of generosity to the neighbour or the person next door. The problem really is that people fail to understand that there are levels of holiness and so too there are levels or categories of sinfulness. And there are four basic types of sinners. You might like to think about your neighbour as I go through the four. The first is that many people, well, you all sin daily. They're venial sins, little misgivings, a fib, unkindness, a lie. They're daily venial sins. They're everyday sins. And the Bible says a just man, a holy man, falls eight times a day. So they happen throughout the day. We try to struggle against them. The second level of sinning is those people who not just venially sin, but they fall in and out of mortal sin. They might be in a relationship that's sinful, and then they come back to the church and they fall away into their ice addiction and they come back after a while. They're in and out. They need a real conversion to the Lord. And of course, most Catholics today are in that category. The third category of sinfulness is the addiction level, or people who are addicted to one of the big five. There's five addictions which plague our society and our families. And these addictions are like vices that lock someone into a behaviour mode that they find crippling. And these are the people that say, oh, I can't go to church, the roof will fall down, it's been too long, all of those type of things. They're almost losing heart because the addiction has claimed their soul. In that great trilogy, The Lord of the Rings, Tolkien, Gollum had the addiction towards the ring, and the ring was consuming him. Addictions consume. Whether it's the gambling addiction, the ice addiction, the alcoholic, it's the thing that starts to eat away at them and controls them rather than they control it. And of course, it's only when one hits rock bottom and please God with God's grace, they then bounce back, they admit they have a problem, and once the problem's admitted, a solution can be found. And hence, until someone says, I am an alcoholic, they can't find a remedy to their problem. But they should never lose heart. There are great saints in heaven who were addicted people on earth. Camillus wasn't addicted. He was addicted to gambling. Ended up fighting the addiction one and became a great saint, a great nurse. Matt Talbot in Ireland. Mary Magdalene, the prostitute that our Lord first appeared to. Paul himself hated Christians. Right down through the ages, including Augustine, whose feast was just the other day, people have had addictions, they've fought against them, and with God's grace, they broke the addiction and became extraordinarily holy. The last category, that's the third, the fourth is those souls which have become perverse. I say perverse because they're in a mode of behaviour which is utterly wicked. The pedophile who preys upon individuals, children, or the person who is part of a satanic movement. These people have in a way sold their soul. They're depraved. Those ones are harder to win back to God's grace because their mode of conduct is so opposed to God's will. Only a miracle of grace can win them over, but they're not without hope, because whilst this life, there is always hope. So we're always thinking, when we think of sin, think of misgivings, failings, things haven't come together. And with God's grace, all things do work together. But we need to recognise it's His will and His grace that makes the difference. And of course, in answer to the Jews of his time, the Sadducees and the Pharisees were the two main political groups. The Pharisees had added to God's commandments all these extra regulations and rules on what we can eat, where we can eat that, how much we wash before, what type of dishes we eat out of, and it had become so burdensome. And the sad thing was they'd mixed up God's rules with their own rules. It became a minestrone, and people couldn't work out what was God's will and what was basically imposed at the time by the Jewish culture. So our Lord splits the issue right down the middle and comes back to the principle that governs all human behaviour. And that is, listen to me, he says. In other words, keep quiet, I'm sick and tired of your nonsense, and understand this. It's the heart that matters most of all. Out of the heart comes uncleanness, but out of the heart also comes cleanness. The heart is the centre of the person. It's who we are. And it's the heart that gives us thoughts. The thoughts are uttered into words, and the words lead to actions. Be they good, be they evil, it all begins within. And that's what matters most. So forget all your rules with regard to cleanliness on the outside. It won't make one speck of difference to your soul inside. And the Lord is saying that to us today. Purify your hearts with my grace. Have your soul dry clean and be healed in my sacraments. And then receive my sacraments to be stronger and fortified to do my will. Of course, the heart is so important, and from that our desires emerge. One factor that plays a big part in what we desire is the imagination. The imagination is very active in some people. Whatever the case, we all have this creative ability, and it can mislead us into places where we ought not to go. The imagination can be likened to a horse, a brumby, that needs to be harnessed and pulled into rein. We need to direct our thought pattern and not be directed by it. When we wake up sometimes in the morning, we wake up with a dream partially in our thought pattern. And the dream is often a minestrone of bits and pieces of things that are happening or not happening. It's always a part reality, part fiction. Well, so too, things that pop into our mind and our imagination, perhaps that thought regarding that person and their relationship, or some envious thought as it comes in, something else, control it, discipline it, and pull it into rein. Otherwise, it can lead us into desiring things which aren't part of God's plan for us, be they good or bad. And one good way to fight the imagination is to keep busy in our thought pattern with regarding other people. It's by giving that we receive. And in giving of our heart, we learn God's way for us. As I speak, there are some nuns in a place called Yemen, far from here, that's been utterly devastated by the ISIS Muslim fanatical idiots. And the bombing these towns and these poor nuns are now left on their own. The priests have left, everyone has left, and as of March the 19th, there's been no water, no electricity, and they were suffering tremendously. The nuns were, and still are, the missionaries of charity, Mother Teresa's nuns. And they're still in this little complex, looking after 60 disabled men and women. That's their role in life. They're giving unto these people. I just read a report the other day that the nuns had run out of food because the baker had just packed up and left. His house had been bombed too. And someone had gave them some bags of flour that enabled them to cook food for their patients for 2 weeks. But then that ran out. And the superior of the nuns said to her sisters, "Well, there's no bread today. We just have to trust in God and pray." Giving of themselves all the time, they prayed. They prayed to Blessed Teresa in heaven. And the next day, a Muslim arrived at about 6 o'clock. He baked bread for the sisters. And they said, "Why are you giving us, we're Christian, your Muslim food?" And he said, "Because my life is such a mess now. The only person I seem to be able to please is God, and you're godly people, so I'm baking the bread for you." And he's still doing it. He's still doing that act of charity for the nuns, and the nuns are looking after these poor people that no one wants to bother with. In a country where, as I said, there's just nothing happening that we take for granted. Imagine the road being bombed, there's no power, there's no running water, and the nuns have stayed there. Then, of course, things got worse. The medication started to run out. One person who was psychotic needed his medication just to be subdued and live a normal life in the hospice, and they had no medication. The next day, some doctors passed through. Their hospital had been bombed, and they were leaving the country, and as they were visiting the sisters, they left some medication. And the first packet they brought out was the medication that this person needed. The point being, you give to God, and God will give to you. Whatever the circumstances in your life, if you're thinking of others and you're there for them, you not only control your imagination, but also your desires of the heart. And God, seeing the effort you're making, will bless you in the most unexpected and unpredictable ways, because it all happens from the inside out. When God sees our motives and the love we have for others, he too will love us and protect us in return. Praise be Jesus Christ. Thank you.